Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll take a look at what the Lord has for us here. And again, trust you've been praying for the services. The Lord will bless. Bless us together as we look to His Word. We're heading for chapter 11, of course, and we want to take a look at these things here. It seemed appropriate to do so. There's some mention about that. Of course, we're studying on the Lord's Supper. And we gave a little bit of a background and consideration, some things for you to consider about this book, these books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians and the church there in Greece at Corinth, and how the Lord worked to bring the apostle there and his writing to them, and at the timing of his writing and relative to the missionary journeys that he was on. And things that we've covered other passages in 1st and 2nd Corinthians in our teaching. And as the apostle dealt with this church, a real church, seeming to be more so a Gentile church, dealt with them with issues that they are dealing with. And taking a look at this about the Lord's Supper, we want to see the lead into that in this chapter 10, because there's some comparisons here. There's some things here that are given to us to consider. We took a look at the beginning of this passage in 1 Corinthians 10 about how the apostle speaks to them and speaks to the entire church, whether Gentile or Jew, in the membership, refers to those things told about the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt. Verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses," or into his ministry, if you will, "in the cloud and in the sea, that all and did eat of the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them," as he's saying, as it turned out to be, the one who was leading them was Christ. And that rock was Christ. And so all of them heard it, all of them saw it, all of them witnessed it, because all of them went out of Egypt. And they were there, and it was there. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Not all, but many. They heard it, they saw it. But as it is with even you and me here today, we hear the Word of God, the teaching, the preaching that's been done over the time that you have been a member here at Olmsted Baptist Church, whether it's me, your Sunday school teachers, other men that have come in, the pastors, the former pastors, all the preaching, all the teaching that's going out, or wherever you may have been a member otherwise. And in your own study, you get the Word of God, but will we hear it and receive it individually? They were overthrown in the wilderness, and why was it they were overthrown? With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness by their sin, and it came to a point at one time that God said, "It's too late. It's too late. You've done lost your life with the 10 spies that gave an evil report and caused the murmuring amongst the people. They dropped dead when the Lord sent the plague amongst them. But Joshua and Caleb, because they stood for that of the Lord and they had faith and confidence in the Lord, they went through the trial of the 40 years with those that doubted through the wilderness and came out on the other side. And what was it that it said about Moses? What was it that it said about Caleb? What was it that it said about Joshua, that their strength wasn't abated and they were no less fit than they were in the day that they were whatever age they were 40 years ago? They were just as solid, just as strong and vibrant as they were then. That was the blessing of the Lord. Verse 6, "And now these things are were our examples to the intent." That's God's intent. There's an intention that God has in showing these things to us and giving it to the apostle to deliver unto us again, that we should not desire after evil things. That word lust, it's been associated only with those things in our day. First thing we think of is something illicit. You know, but I can lust after too many donuts. Desire, want them. We can... You know, you could lust after riding go-karts excessively to where you clean out your bank account. Okay, so let us understand it's just not illicitness that it is, and those things intimate between men and women, or men and men, women and women, as the world has taken and twisted things. But it's talking about any kind of desire. Any kind of our desire can be misplaced after these evil things, as they also lusted or desired these things. And we took a look at this last time. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. It is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Within a year, less than a year, a handful of months or so, God has given Moses the law. He's given to him the order of the how they're to serve. He's given to him all those things on the mount, and he's gone. He's gone just for 40 days. And the folks, having seen everything that they saw and having witnessed everything that they witnessed, they all passed through the Red Sea. Some of them didn't take, you know, the air tram over later. They all went through. They all saw it. Moses said, well, we don't know what's become of this Moses. And then Aaron, he's going to be the high priest. Oh, all right, we're wicked and sinful, aren't we? I mean, let us remember, as it goes on to tell us in this passage, we're capable of anything at any time. We're there. Not saying that we're not. We are. We're capable of anything at any time. But Lord, help us to see we need to pray to God to preserve us. Amen. And he will give unto us that which we need to help preserve us. You know, that's the thing. That's the blessing that God has provided to us in this thing of prayer. Making a petition to God to help us to do those things that's impossible for us to do. But God has said, petition me. I said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll strengthen you, as we have the example that he has. And so the people rose up to play, and they fornication and illicitness, nakedness. Why is that? Because Romans chapter 1, and we've taken a look at that. It's been a while now. But Romans chapter 1 tells you, you go after idol worship, you're going to end up committing all kinds of gross, nasty, abominable wickedness. It's the way that it is. That's a law, that's a rule amongst those that pursue after such, pursue after paganism, pursue after idolatry. You can end up in a shape where the Lord will just turn you over to a reprobate mind. I mean, just let you go. God gets to a point, he says, too late, too late. You want your sin? You want all the junk that goes with it? There you are. Take it. And so it's the way it was. 3,000 died. Moses, if you will, drew that line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? And only the Levites came. And they went through the camp. And they executed the justice and judgment of God. And 3,000 died because of that. That sin, 3,000 lost their lives that day because of that wickedness that they kept on pursuing, I believe, after the man of God. Those that went through the camp there, who would it that would be their target? Those that would keep on pursuing after that filth, pursuing after, they didn't straighten up, they didn't put the clothes on, they didn't get right, they didn't turn from their way, but they kept on in it because they thought it was a big joke, thought it was a big laugh, thought it was just a big fun, a big orgy and all that. And the Levites went through, and 3,000 of them died that day. Why is it the Lord gives us this? To be an example to us. To warn us. To warn us about that. Verse number 8. Here's example number 2. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. I say, well, Brother Jim, we don't need this example. It's not what the Lord says. Not what the Lord says. Yeah, it's been asked me, and I understand the desire of it. You know, I need something to help me to know how to live day to day. You know, and that's true. We do. Don't we, isn't that what we need? When you're facing the trial and the burden of life that can come along and temptation and such as that, that's what we need. We need that. We need that. We need guidance. And what is it that the Lord would do? Well, that's what these accounts are all about. It's not just for entertainment or for us to acquire another story. You know, there are those cultures that they really, and all cultures have been that way. I mean, don't we have in our nation, we have folk songs and folk songs that tell a story. I like those kind of songs. They tell some kind of account, you know, Dear Eliza some of it's kind of corny, some of it's neat, but they tell a story. Well, the purpose of the scripture is just for us to not have another song or have another story that we know that's neat or cute or whatever, but it's to help us to understand what evil is that we might stay away from it. It's to show us what good is and righteousness is, so we'll ensue it, we'll pursue it. It's to be an example to us. We learn that way. Here in Numbers chapter 25, in the second example that we've been given, Numbers chapter 25, verse number 1, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." Take all the heads. You know, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Hang them up, so the fierce anger of the Lord will be turned away. Well, our God isn't that way. He was here. Same God. Right. Jonathan Edwards preached that message of sinners in the hands of an angry God. You know, in our quote-unquote modern technological society, that just doesn't much even make a connection with us today, does it?
Right.
We just like say, well, that can't be for us. He's the same God.
Amen.
He's the same God. And you know, that there in Hebrews is talking to the saved. That's talking to the saved. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God being saved but having been disobedient to your heavenly Father.
Right.
We've read that passage much. Verse 5, "Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Why were they so? Because of the judgment of God upon their sin. Because of their disobedience, they were weeping. Not because they got caught, and they did get caught, but they were weeping because that judgment, that condemnation had landed down on them that day because of their sin. And this man, he's just keeping on going on, isn't he? Verse 7, "And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people. Because they went to mess around with a nation that they shouldn't have had anything to do with. They went after the whoredoms of another nation that they should not have had anything to do with. Back in 1 Corinthians 10. Over here in Matthew chapter 5, just hold your place there and just listen to what the Lord says. And see, and this is so much the point with the Lord. If you want to turn there, Matthew 5:27, listen to what he says. And we looked at the works of the flesh this morning. Matthew 5:27, you have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. He says, sin, as it is that Scripture tells us, and especially in the book of James, we may look at some scriptures there, it starts inside. It starts in the heart. And understand, the ladies, I offer this to you, understand, a man is cut to desire a woman. A man is made that way of God, and in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But help us out by covering yourself up. Because this old man, this old flesh, this old body, this old mind, it doesn't discern whether it's my wife or it's you. Right. To be honest. And that's the reason we should be clothed. Right. And men, we need to wear our clothes. Cover up our nakedness. Amen. That we not be a snare one to another. Because right. It starts inside. And if we give it feed and fodder, we don't help each other out. And then if a man goes ahead and pursues after that which is there, he damages himself. And he does. And the thing is even though a soul may not know it, God Almighty does. The Lord does. Here, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9, the third example. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. The third example, they tempted Christ. Doesn't it say that they tempted Christ? Was Christ there? Well, that's what the apostle's saying. He's saying God is one, and the God that was there amongst Israel, he's that same God that's here with us now. Right. Same one. Amen. His son was manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ the righteous. It was Christ. Remember how the Lord said, he said in a couple places, they said when he spoke to them on the mount there and gave the Ten Commandments and spoke to the entire congregation from the mount, and they said, oh, Moses, don't have him speak to us anymore because we're afraid we're going to die. If we hear the voice of God that way, if we see the terribleness of the mount on a smoke and all those things, he said, you go talk to him for us, and whatever he says, we'll do. And the Lord said, you know, they've spoken well. They've spoken well. Because I'm going to send them, this is the theme of our VBS, I'm going to send them a prophet like unto you, Moses, and unto him they shall hearken. And you know what? Isn't that what the apostles told us here? They drank of that spiritual rock, and they ate that spiritual meat, and it turns out it was Christ. It was Christ that they were was after. The Lord said, I'm going to send my angel before you. And speaking of Christ, Christ was there leading the Lord's people. He says they tempted Christ. Turn over to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. Examples from a long, long time ago. Examples to you and me so that we wouldn't desire evil things as they did. Not be an idolater. Not put anything between us and the God. Not to be a fornicator and pursue the wickedness of those illicit things that are reserved for marriage. To not pursue the wickedness of the heart and the mind, and not to tempt the Lord, not to tempt him as they did here in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 1. Numbers 21, verse number 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came up by the way of the spies, he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And we hear about Hormah later on in the scriptures. So that'll make a connection someday in some future study, I trust. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And why was it that they had to do that? Why was it that they had to go around the land of Edom? You remember who Edom is? Who is Edom? Who is Edom? Esau. Who's Esau? Jacob's brother. Jacob's brother, his posterity, his children, his nation that God gave him, they said, Nah, you're not coming through this way. And all that works in the providence and design of God Almighty, he's going to bring judgment down on Esau's children and Esau's nation because of this. The Lord told Israel, he said, I've given Esau his possession, and I'm not going to give you a handbreadth of it. That's not much, is it? But he said, you're not taking any of it, because I promised Abraham that I would bless his seed, and I've kept my promise, and I've done it. And even Esau, I've blessed Esau, and you're not going to get a bit. And so Israel asked, said, let us pass through on the road. We'll take our time. We won't hurt not one field. Only the water and the grass that our cattle just eat by chance, if you will. We'll even pay for that. And we'll make restitution with you. We'll make you whole or better if you just let us pass through the land. And Edom said, no, no. Not going to do it. Well, that's kind of hard. Verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. Why? Because of the way. And historically and geographically, if we understand it, the land that they had to pass on was on a slant, and it was rocky. You ever pulled a cart across rocky ground? I haven't. You ever had a mule or a donkey packing a burden going on a slant over rocky ground? How many of you have ever gone camping and you couldn't find a soft place to camp? That's the way they had to go. And it was rough. And it was a trial. And what did they have before them to do? Lord, you know it's tough. And Lord, you know it's hard. Now, this is practical, everyday stuff, folks. Lord, you know it's tough and you know it's hard. And you know that the mule keeps falling down and the kids keep fussing and complaining. And you know it's hard for us to carry this stuff over all these rocks. But Lord, you know. And will you help us? Maybe not help to change the way, but maybe help on the inside so I could just take it better. Isn't that down when it gets down to real life that sometimes we just run into stuff that isn't going to change? And so what needs to be changed is us. A good brother, a dear brother of mine, pastor, friend of mine, he said, prayer doesn't necessarily change the Lord. Prayer changes us. You know, and there's some truth in that. That if we humble ourselves to pray to the Lord that he would help us to just have a better heart about it, to have some more patience, to give strength that we might be able to endure, right? Well, that's one side of what they had before of them. Or what else did they have? I don't like this way. It's hard. What's that knucklehead doing leading us this way? We could have taken the Edomites just like that. You know, who cares what they say? Let's go the They had that, didn't they? They had it before them. And here's what they chose. Verse 5, and the people spake against God. Why have we got to go this way? Why can't you change Edom's mind? God, why didn't you make Edom be nice to us and let us go through? What is it that the Lord said and Moses preaches, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy? He said, the Lord took you through the wilderness for 40 years to prove you. Brothers and sisters, listen. Our Lord God Almighty and Savior, our God and Father and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, our God is taking us through this life to prove us. Right. How you doing? He's taken us through this life from the time that He saved us to prove us. This world isn't our home. We are passing through. And how you doing? How are we doing? How am I doing? The people spake against God, verse 5, and against Moses, the man that He appointed to be their leader. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? When has anybody in Israel died to this point? When has anyone died? All the accounts that we have is when they sinned. Amen? When they sinned, they died in mass. Otherwise, it was only someone that was old enough and it was their time to die, or somebody that got in an accident or whatever. But when they died in mass, it was because of their sin. And they rail upon God. They rail upon Moses and said, you brought us out here to die in this wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna that the Lord had provided for them. You know, God had provided for them so much. And it's easy for you and me, and we shouldn't rail upon them by any means, we're to look, but we need to see the example how it is. For water, Lord, you know we're thirsty, and you know our cattle needs water. Lord, can you bless us with water? Would you? Otherwise, give us the strength to wait on you till you bring us to water. But instead, murmuring, fussing, backbiting, complaining. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, verse 6, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. We don't even have a number that's listed here. Of somewhere in a number between 1.5 to 3 million Israelites, there were much people that died because of these fiery serpents that God dropped upon them. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, and thank God for repentance. We can repent. We can repent. We see the error of our way. We're shown by the Lord the error of our way, shown by the Lord our sin. We can repent and get right and move on. Praise God for word that those that we know of that have been rebellious and unruly and away from God, that the Lord has touched them and brought them back. It's good news, isn't it? Isn't that good news? I think it's good news. Repentance is great. For the sinner that needs salvation. And the Lord speaks to them and shows them. And they say, I repent and I believe. I see Jesus as my Savior. Hey, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Somebody's been saved. Repentance is great, isn't it? It is. Repentance is what? It's right before fellowship with the Lord. Isn't it? Isn't repentance right there before fellowship with the Lord? Sweet fellowship with the Lord. Lord's been working. Lord's been touching. Lord's been pricking. Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's miserable. When he sees the Lord and the Lord saves him, he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Fellowship. Good stuff. People came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. And they repented. They repented since, well, Moses, we've sinned. We're sorry. We're sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, 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 sorry. You know, I've heard of that in times past, and it'll cause churches problems. Folks come up and they say, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, everybody, they're sorry. Do we forgive them? Don't even say a word about what they're sorry about. They told what they were repentant of, didn't they? The people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord, and we've spoken against thee. That's it. That's what we've done. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. They could have prayed for water. They could have prayed for a different heart to go the hard way, couldn't they? Lord, help us to learn that. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to look to Jesus. Not to religion, not to the church, not to anything that you can do, pay, work up, conjure up. You need to look to Jesus. Jesus and Him alone. His power to save, His sacrifice on Calvary, what He has done for sinners. Make that fiery serpent, put it on that pole, and everyone, it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent, verse 9, of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Don't you wonder about that serpent of brass on that pole? I was talking to someone here not too long ago. How was it that they did that? Did they put it on a big old pole so the whole camp could see it? I mean, we're talking about a lot of real estate that that camp occupied. Or was it so such that they put it on a pole and the Lord assigned some of the men, Aaron or some of the Levites, to take that thing and carry it through the camp? I don't know. I don't know. But I know that what the Lord said, the simplicity of what the Lord said when they looked upon it, if they'd been bitten, they lived. They lived. Who did the healing? God. Who sent the solution? God. Who had done the sinning? Us, the people. And who made a way that they could be healed? The Lord. What if a man had been bitten and he didn't look at the serpent? He died. He died. Same thing. Reject the Lord. Reject His way. Reject His word. Reject His truth about the way that sinners, the only way, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, reject His way, and you will surely, surely die. Surely die. Back in 1 Corinthians, neither let us tempt Christ. Let us not be idolaters. Let us not be fornicators. Let us not be tempters of the Lord. Verse number 10, neither murmur ye. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Don't be a murmur. I'm going to murmur if I want to. I tell you what, that's dangerous ground to be on in any case, unsaved or saved. I don't like that. I just don't like it. I want it my way. Yeah, that's the way we are. We're headstrong, stiff neck. But you know what? We need to desire what the Lord says. We need to realize that we need to line up with what the Lord says. The Lord says, don't be a murmurer. You know what that murmuring is? That's that low tone, cowardly grumble. Won't say it to the face of the one they got a problem with. Will say it to everybody else under the sun. Won't go straight to where the solution might be, but rather than seek after a solution, just fuss. Murmur. Murmur, murmur, murmur. God hates it. He hates it. He doesn't want it to be. Neither murmur ye. Oh, the way is hard. Moses is a creep. I don't know why God took us out of Egypt. I don't know why Edom didn't do what he, you know, why wouldn't he just let us go through? Murmur, murmur. Why is it, oh, me? That's murmur. Murmuring. I want it my way. Well, what's your way line up with? Well, it's just my way. It's the way I want it. Not what the Lord says. We're all subject to it. All subject to it. Me, you, and everybody else in between. Everybody else beyond, and everybody else in between. We're subject to it. You know what? Murmuring comes natural. You don't have to teach a child how to murmur. They just get it. Yeah. My kids murmur because they're related to me. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. They get it natural. We got to teach them not to. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And listen to this. And were destroyed of the destroyer. We're going to look at this next time. Isn't it sad to be in a shape and in a place where the Lord who is so good and so kind and so merciful, who is such a wonderful Savior and loves meeting out mercy, becomes the adversary? You hear that? It was the Lord that moved and sent the plague amongst the people. It was the Lord that sent the serpents amongst the people. It was the Lord that told Moses, get the men that'll go with you and go through and destroy those that are sinning against me. It was God that met out the judgment and the condemnation. Where when he says, if you'll seek my face early, if you'll love me and desire me, if you'll pursue, if you'll believe that I am, and will diligently seek me, I will bless you. Amen. I will bless you bigger than you ever can imagine. Isn't that what it tells us in what, Hebrews chapter 11? Turn over there real quick and we'll close. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's there, and that he is who he says he is. And not like you and me, not down on our level, but God Almighty, high and lifted up on his throne with his train about him, with his son sitting by his right hand. God must come, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord help us in these things. If you're here tonight, this afternoon, without, or it's this evening now, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to repent. You need to repent to God. You're a sinner. You're guilty. And you need a Savior. Ignoring it won't make it go away. Lying to yourself or believing something of the world, it won't make it go away. Because between now and the time for you to pass on from this life is the time that you have to receive the Lord. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Not that were born after the will of the flesh or the will of man, but are born of God. That word going out, do you hear it? Can you believe it? Can you receive it? Or is it just so much nothing to you? Oh, I pray to God that He'll make it real to you. That He'll prick your soul with it. That the Lord will move with His Holy Spirit and open ears, open eyes, open hearts, and save your soul. We pray for you.